Outreach Council Healthcare Forum on the Affordable Care Act. Tonight you're going to hear from some state and local perspectives on the Cover California and also Medi-Cal expansion, as well as enrollment and outreach efforts by our FQHC, our Federally Qualified Healthcare Center, Community Health Centers of the Central Coast, and our Department of Social Services. Welcoming and introducing our moderator for the evening, Jacqueline DeValle VT Frederick, attorney at law, and she happens to be our chairman for the Latino Outreach Council.
Great. Okay, thank you very much, Teresa. I am chair of the Latino Outreach Council, and we want to welcome you and thank you for coming this evening. The Latino Outreach Council puts on these educational forums for the general public, and in particular, we reach out to the Latino community and provide Spanish language translation at all of our forums. So if there's anyone here that would require Spanish translation, we do have a volunteer in the back, Christina, who is here and would be happy to sit with you in the back and help translate for you. I want to thank Teresa Scott, she with CenCal. She is on our board and one of our most ardent workers. She proposed this idea of having this forum at the end of the year at this particular time because, as she impressed upon our board, it is vitally important that people understand their legal obligations and the opportunities that are available to them to obtain healthcare coverage through Covered California. And in particular, those of you that read the Los Angeles Times or the Wall Street Journal may have read front page stories this week that a large percentage of Latinos do not apply for Covered California or even nationally in their various states due to fears that information will be shared or whatever with other governmental agencies that may adversely affect some of their family members that may not have legal status in our country. We know that that doesn't occur, but we hope by holding these forums that some of that misinformation or misunderstanding will be cleared up. Latino Outreach Council has been around since 1994. Some of the original founding board members are still members on our board. We're a 15-member, at this point in time, policy board member. We can have up to 21 board members. And our goal is to outreach to the Latino community, to integrate both the Latino and non-Latino community, to become informed, and also to become fully involved in government affairs, be involved in political processes, become informed voters, and also become informed citizens and be aware of all the resources that are there. So we do have a Facebook page, so you can look up Latino Outreach Council and look for our beautiful logo, colorful logo, and like us on that page and get information. We're constantly posting on that page about forums coming up or other information that's important to everyone, for everyone to know. We have a wonderful panel of speakers this evening. I'm going to introduce them individually before each of them speaks. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background. And we're going to start with Kenna Burke. I have known Kenna Burke for a number of years. She is a former board member of the Latino Outreach Council before she moved out of the area. Otherwise, believe me, I would be rallying to have her stay on as a board member. Kenna is currently the MPP of California Medical Association Foundation and the director of the Covered California Project. She is currently working out of Sacramento. So we want to thank you very much, Kenna, for coming all the way from Sacramento. She's one of the leaders of Covered California, so we're going to learn a lot.
A good job. And those that have been with it for a long time, it's really awesome. So I cannot take the credit that Jackie gave to me. I actually run a program out of the California Medical Association Foundation. And what we do is we go out and we educate physicians about Cover California. And so we work to really communicate to docs about the changes in the healthcare law that has occurred and how that's impacting them. So when Teresa called me, she asked if I could do an overview and structure of how the healthcare law has impacted California, and I would be honored to do that for all of you. So let's get started on that. Okay, Jen, help me out a bit here. Thank you. Oh, great. Okay. So we're going to start to begin with the fine print. And, okay. Well, we'll do the overview first. So we're going to talk a little bit about the structure. What has changed under the Affordable Care Act? What does that look like? And then what does it look like under Cover California? Because Cover California is simply a marketplace for health insurance plans. It's not really all of the Affordable Care Act. And then we'll talk a little bit about the health exchange plans and discuss a bit about what's going on in San Luis Obispo County in terms of who has signed up for those plans and what the metal tiers looks like. I'm not going to go in too much detail on it because all of the ones that are here on to my left actually have all the really good information about San Luis Obispo. And I did that backwards, so there we go. So Cover California has provided the funding for my presentation today, just so that you're aware. We do not discuss anything contractual, and nothing in this presentation is intended to suggest that a patient should or should not with any of the different plans that are available. So that's all the legalese that we have to go through. So let's start at the beginning. So why did we need to have health insurance law? Why did we need a change in the coverage? And why is it actually called the Affordable Care Act? So prior to 2013, when this was implemented, basically 15% of Californians were without health insurance. There was an additional 20% of Californians that were on Medi-Cal. They were enrolled in Medi-Cal. And what has transpired is this change in the individual market. And on this slide, it's a 6.1% is what really is what we are going to be talking about today in regards to Cover California and what they are offering. So insurance market reforms, what had to transpire to be able to allow for the Affordable Care Act to be successful? So what they said in the beginning is that if you have not been able to get health insurance in the past, we're going to change that, and we're going to make sure it's a guaranteed issue. So if you go to your health insurance agent, if you go to community health centers, wherever you go to access health insurance, you will not be denied because of a pre-existing condition or anything that has happened in your past. So it's called guaranteed issuance. No gender-based premiums. Your health status is fine. If you've had cancer in the past, you can now get health insurance. Whereas prior to the implementation, that was not available. And there's guaranteed renewal. If you were a child and you ended up with a brain tumor and you ended up at Stanford, to get that care, you would probably exceed your $1 million cap within the first year. And that was actually a lifelong cap. That's gone away. There's no more caps on any of the life insurance or the insurance policies any longer. But to be able to accomplish that, because we as a nation have a risk pool for insurance, so everybody has to buy into that risk pool to make it affordable. So that was the requirement for the individual mandate, is they require that everybody be in insurance to be able to cover the cost of those who are ill. That's how the process has worked. So how did they make it the Affordable Care Act? So as opposed, we kind of joke about this a little bit because people are like, oh, it's not affordable. But if we had said that it was the Health Insurance Reform or the Health Insurance Company Reform Act, people might have taken that a little bit easier. But what they did is they worked to expand Medi-Cal. So in the past, Medi-Cal only went up to 100% of FPL. The federal poverty limit is a guideline that the federal government puts out for individuals, and it qualifies them for various programs. So an FPL for one person is equal to $16,503 annually this year. So if your income was at that point, then you would qualify for any of the Medi-Cal programs. If it goes over that income, then you're eligible for a covered California plan. In the past, that amount was lower, and you were required to have a child. If you had a child, you were child-linked, you could be a parent, and you could qualify for Medi-Cal. So what has happened is that expansion has been huge, and we'll talk about those numbers in a bit. The other thing that was to help to make it affordable is that premium assistance and cost-sharing reductions are available to you through Covered California, through the marketplace. And for those of us who have had our health insurance through our employer actually contributes to our health insurance. So I might work for the county of San Luis Obispo, and I'd be in a PERS plan. And what the county would do is they say to me, we're going to give you $800 for your health insurance or for your health insurance for your family. And California is the place in which they go out and they get health insurance plans to basically, they'll release a proposal, and the health insurance plans come back, and they say, okay, we're going to provide health insurance for your populations. And Covered California divided the state into 19 regions. San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura County is region number 12. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But what they did is they allowed that so that the amounts of the costs of health insurance wouldn't impact somebody significantly who maybe lived in the valley, whose costs weren't as high as some of the costs that are associated with living in San Francisco. There, and some of the other metropolitan areas have higher expenses than we do. So we have 19 regions. Covered California goes through and negotiates with insurance companies to lower the rates, and they also are deciding which health insurance plans can come in. And that will be based upon their Knox-Keene license, what their rates are. There were many health plans that applied to be a part of the exchange. The first year around, they had 11. This year, they have 10. Contra Costa Health Plan has dropped out. So there's 10 major health insurance companies that are part of this individual market. As I mentioned, Covered California behaves as a large employer, and that they work to offset some of the costs so that families and individuals are able to afford the health insurance costs. A really important piece of this is that they'll only contract with Knox-Keene licensed health plans. So there are 10 Knox-Keene licensed plans in the marketplace this year, and that's going to be important because we're going to talk about network adequacy. Network adequacy means that a health plan has to have a number of providers per patients that are in their area. They have to have the facilities. A Knox-Keene licensed health plan has all kinds of requirements underneath it. So when there's an issue with network adequacy, what ends up happening is the complaint goes to the Department of Managed Health Care, and they're the ones that come back. They're the ones that give them their Knox-Keene license. So they are the ones who are the governing body for that entity. And we'll talk about that with network adequacy. Health plans contract directly with the providers or with the physicians. So the structure is Covered California, and then they contract with health plans. Health plans provide the network, so they know the hospitals, the physicians, any of the tertiary entities that provide that health care is contracted with the health plan. There is one other issue that comes up underneath this that's a bit confusing, so we're going to take a moment to talk a little bit about it. You can buy a Covered California health plan through a certified enrollment counselor. You can purchase it online at coveredcalifornia.gov. You can go to CHC. They have enrollment counselors there. Only through those entities are you eligible for premium assistance or cost-sharing reductions. You have to go through Covered California as the state exchange to do that. But you still have the ability to buy an individual product, and it's called a mirrored plan. So the federal government required that if you are going to provide a health insurance plan in the marketplace, you also have to provide that health insurance off of the marketplace. And we call them mirrored plans. So I could go on to Blue Cross. I could go on to the Blue Shield website, and I could buy an individual health insurance plan through them. What's important to note, though, is that all of that marketplace, everything that's sold is the same thing that's in. The same thing in the health plan is the same thing that's in the marketplace. It is a same benefit package. It's the same providers, same network of facilities. So even though you didn't buy a Covered California health insurance plan in the individual market, you still have the same physician network that is offered through the Covered California network. It's the same piece. So you can ask questions later. Yes, Jackie? So let's talk about how many people enrolled. In Covered California, in the first 6 months of the enrollment, was almost 1.4 million Californians. What's an important piece of this one is that the subsidy-eligible folks, those people that were eligible to receive premium assistance that we spoke about, was 88%. There are 12% of the population purchased through Covered California as well who were not eligible for subsidies, which meant that their income was higher than 400% of the federal poverty level. So let's talk a little bit about the Medi-Cal expansion. So even though we had this huge Covered California, a brand new marketplace for health insurance, actually when they expanded Medi-Cal, it was a much larger expansion. And we talked a little bit about this. So adults whose incomes are less than 138% of FPL are now eligible. They don't have to have a child anymore. It's all based upon your assets. So it's called It eliminates the assets test. It's based strictly on income and size of family and geography. So they're using what's called the MAGI, which is the Modified Adjusted Gross Income, to determine eligibility for all programs. So from last year, since October, we've had 2.7 million Californians enroll in Medi-Cal. And that number is way more than any of the expectations were. So now in California, it's 11.3 million are now enrolled. Since it's based upon your ability to pay, it changes as your income changes. So a little bit about the standard benefits for individuals. You as a consumer have the option to purchase different types of plans, and it's very much like your auto insurance. Your health insurance can be based upon if you are healthy and you never go to the doctor, I don't want to pay very much in my premium expenses, and I'm willing to take that risk at the doctor's office. I may go to the doctor's office twice during the entire year. So you might be eligible for a bronze plan. You'll pay less in your premiums up front on a monthly basis, but you're going to pay more out of pocket when you go to the doctor. Very similar to your auto insurance, I'm going to pay less for my premiums, but if I have an accident in my car, I'm going to pay more for my deductible when I get to the auto collision place. The Silver plan is the only plan in which you have the ability to do cost-sharing reductions. And cost-sharing reductions, I'm going to switch to this plan and we'll come back. If you notice up here, you've got an annual income. And the annual income limits, if you fall within these different guidelines, you're still pretty low income. I mean, you're not Medi-Cal eligible, but you're eligible for a Covered California plan because the law states everybody has to have health insurance. So we're going to make it more affordable. So under the sliding scale benefits for a single person for the Silver plan, you can have a no-deductible plan, a primary care visit for only $3, and then the emergency copay is $25. And as you can see, this changes based upon income. But we're still talking some very low income here, so it's much more affordable for these areas. One of the other benefits of this plan is that the maximum out-of-pocket for individuals at the normal Silver plan, which is this one on your right-hand side, is $6,250. On the lower, on the Silver Enhanced plan, there's an option here in which it's only out of pocket of $2,250. So that actually helps to make it more affordable for folks that are in the low income area. So this is my example of what I have locally. And this is last year's plans. I will tell you, I received at 5 o'clock today the new health plan slides, but I wasn't able to incorporate it into this presentation. I will give it to Jackie if you want to distribute or however you like to do it. But in San Luis Obispo, this is Region 12, like I mentioned. So Region 12 has Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, and Ventura County. These are the two health plans that were contracted with Covered California to provide health care for their populations here in this area, Blue Shield PPO and Anthem PPO. So we had spoken about how does premium assistance make it more affordable. So premium assistance is that piece right there that the federal government helps to offset the cost for families of four. So under this scenario, the Taylor family, John and Maria, they have two kids, so it's a family of four, and they have an annual income of $65,000. So they are deemed that they can afford $477. And then the feds contribute the $520 in premium assistance. The premium amount is what Covered California negotiates with the health plans. So that premium amount is $997 for a Blue Cross PPO plan for a family of four. Feds come in, they'll give them $520 for that premium payment, and then the Taylor family owes $477 a month. That's how the Affordable Care Act works. So let's look at some of the numbers of who signed up. In San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura, you had almost 62,000 people who enrolled, and 50% enrolled in Blue Cross, and then 43% enrolled in Blue Shield. You do have a small amount of Kaiser, but Kaiser's located down in Ventura, so it wouldn't impact so much up in this area. And you can see some comparisons with other ones across the state. Blue Cross is still at 30%. Blue Shield, Health Net, and Kaiser were all the top four providers across the state. Blue Shield and Anthem Blue Cross are the ones that are struggling with their networks. Throughout the state, we've had concerns about being able to have physicians that are available to see these different patients. So what has transpired in July, because of the complaints that they were receiving, the Department of Managed Health Care is doing an investigation of network adequacy, the provider directories, to ensure that they are adequate and that you have, if you call a doctor, you can actually get a hold of a doctor to be able to see you if you've paid for these benefits. Just to give you an idea, most people have applied for the silver plan that we talked about because basically within that are the cost-sharing reductions. Some folks have done the bronze plan, and the bronze plan is the one that is the least expensive. There is a plan that's available for young adults that are under the age of 30, and it's basically a 50-50 plan. It's minimum coverage. There are some individuals that have applied for that, the medical product. There are no changes in basically the benefit design, meaning that you will pay some out-of-pocket expenses for different things that you see. We talked about that chart. But there's not any major changes that are happening. The health plan formularies, being able to see if your prescription is being covered, is now going to be on the Covered California website with a link so you can actually go there to make sure that you're going to have coverage for pharmaceuticals. And I think that is all that I have this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kenna. That was a lot of information. Thank you very much. And I will look forward to getting the new slides. And, I do have a question, and that is, so we have an open enrollment period that starts on Saturday, and when does it end?
February 15th.
Okay, so people have from this Saturday, November 15th, until February 15th to go online or go to a counselor and apply for their Covered California coverage.
Correct.
Okay.
You can go to a certified insurance agent. You can do Covered California website, or you can go to CHC. Yes.
All right. Very good. Thank you. I'll introduce our next speaker is Michael Harris. Mr. Harris is with SenCal Health. He has been there since April of 2013. He is the Director of Government Affairs. He earned his bachelor's degree from Cal State Northridge in public sector management, and for more than 23 years, he has been a senior management and executive level experience with the County of Santa Barbara in areas of public health and safety. During his tenure with the Santa Barbara County Public Health Department, Michael served as the Director of Emergency Medical Services, Assistant Deputy Director for Primary Care, and was appointed as a Deputy Director of Public Health. For 6 years as the Chief of Emergency Management for Santa Barbara County, Michael provided executive leadership during several major emergencies and disasters. Michael had the opportunity to represent the interests and welfare of local residents to state and federal officials in seeking disaster assistance. He has assisted with the development of various health policy matters to protect and serve the public, improvement and expansion of women's health care access for all residents to improve the quality of our communities, and his work continually to improve quality and efficiencies in services provided. So he brings a wealth of experience to his current position, and he is going to explain to you exactly what SenCal Health is and what they do and what he does. Please give a warm welcome to Michael Harris.
Good evening, and thank you so much. And Jackie, thank you for everything you're doing. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank our incredible staff up here for SenCal Health at San Luis Obispo. I started in April 2013, so it was a little bit like stepping into the middle of a tornado as things were just getting sort of wound up. particularly on healthcare reform, and then as we moved into really the full stretch of the Affordable Care Act, it's been pretty remarkable. SenCal Health is the Medi-Cal health plan for the counties of Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo. Kenna's presentation was one of the best and basically told you everything you need to know about the Affordable Care Act, and it's made tremendous changes, and you can really get into Medi-Cal from a couple different ways. As we relate to the covered California, if your income is low enough, you'll be routed into Medi-Cal. So, I mean, admittedly, we get people who call us and say, I didn't think I was signing up for Medi-Cal, but your income qualifies you for Medi-Cal. So when you get into Medi-Cal, you can get in through the healthcare system through Covered California. You can, of course, speak with people at CHC and their enrollers, and, of course, the Department of Social Services enrolls a lot of people in Medi-Cal. So it's really opened up a lot. As Kenna mentioned, the enrollment into Medi-Cal has been tremendous, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. So SenCal Health started back in the early 80s, and I had the pleasure of working with one of the architects of it, a guy named by the name of Dr. Larry Hart. And what they realized as healthcare providers was it was pretty difficult to deal directly with the bureaucracy up in Sacramento. If you were a provider that saw Medi-Cal patients, you had to do what was called fee-for-service Medi-Cal, and you had to fill out paperwork. It was really, especially back then, it was really bad and cumbersome. It was very difficult to get paid, and you had to wait a very long time to get paid. So it was very, very difficult. So they sat down with people at the state, and they said, there's this new approach to healthcare called managed healthcare, and we really want to move into that. Really got a lot more management and working with the patients. About 6 years or so ago, SenCal Health worked with San Luis Obispo and moved into San Luis Obispo County to provide managed health care for the Medi-Cal patients for this county. Obviously, the major partner we have is CHC, and they provide a remarkable job and do great work here throughout the county. And down in Santa Barbara County, we have a wide variety of different networks established in the northern part of Santa Barbara County and down south, everything from private practices, and we'll talk a little bit about federally qualified health centers. Then we contract directly with specialists. So if a member of ours has a problem, they go see their primary care physician, they get referred to a specialist. And then, of course, we contract with all the hospitals in our two counties. So we've got a great network of services, a couple thousand, 2,200 different physicians, lots of specialists. A lot of the network adequacy standards we're also held accountable for. We have to make sure that our members get good access to care. We're viewed continuously by state officials for just not access, but also quality of services. We just went through a couple weeks ago, we went through a major financial audit. So we're a government agency at SenCal. We're not a commercial plan. We are currently not involved in Covered California or the exchange as an exchange member, and we've chosen right now to focus on Medi-Cal. We think some of the future changes that are going to happen with healthcare is as you look at Medi-Cal and then Medicare. Medicare is a different federal program, and how they may work together in the future for people with disabilities or older adults who are not only on Medicare but also because of low income may be on Medi-Cal, and how can you have one local entity, and we really strive the fact that we're local, one local entity work with its constituents and be very accountable. We have a local board of directors. Our board of directors are made up from county supervisors to physicians to hospital executives. We have consumers on our board, and we also have local business people who make sure that we're accountable on the business side. So that's a little bit about SenCal Health. So a lot of conversations about the changes in Medi-Cal. The Affordable Care Act really, as far as it addressed Medi-Cal, really changed that federal poverty level from 100% to 138%. So it made a big expansion of people who really, if they hadn't changed that, would have basically gotten full subsidies anyway and would have qualified. So we moved them into the Medi-Cal population. And it really focused on, and the big expansion were people in this age group of 19 to 65 who qualified because of their income. That's really important because previous to the Affordable Care Act and the expansion of Medi-Cal, the predominant number of people were people with families and adults with children. One of the challenges, particularly for providers, was the amount of uncompensated care. And it was challenges not just for the clinics, but also the hospitals. When people got admitted to the hospital and they were uninsured, you, either through your tax money, paid for it, or you paid for it through your insurance premiums because somebody had to help cover these uncompensated services. Also, their health care was not managed in any particular way. So one of our challenges, and it has been a challenge, is we've got a new population of people that are on Medi-Cal. People that are single, there's a lot of disenfranchised people, including people that are homeless, a lot of the Latino population, Spanish-speaking population, who have hesitancy on becoming involved with government programs. So there's a lot of challenges. But despite those challenges, we've been able to add a lot of people and a lot of enrollees. I think we were talking that earlier that when I came to SenCal Health, we had about 108,000 members, and now we're up to about 148,000 members. We had some studies done, some actuarial studies from some really smart people from Berkeley and UCLA that said about 75% of the eligible people would probably enroll in the first couple of years, and by the end of next year, we'd probably get 15,000 new members. We've already, as I said, just in this short period during the Affordable Care Act, expanded that by 25,000 members. Challenges with that, of course, are maintaining the network adequacy and working with our providers. But remember, a lot of those people, again, were being seen, but they were uncompensated. They were uninsured. So we have to figure out different ways of changing our model to help those members get to their providers. This just sort of represents the different population that we now see. The light orange is the traditional Medi-Cal population. Medi-Cal expanded with some parents by changing the poverty level, but then it also got into the non-elderly adults. Preventive health care services, which now preventive health care services, even for those of us on a commercial plan, the Affordable Care Act made that a free service. I mean, there's so many different things. I've got a 22-year-old daughter and a 19-year-old son. They're still under my health insurance plan. My son, fine, because he's a college student. But a couple of years ago, my daughter, who did very well in college and now has a starting type job in the East Coast, she would have been completely on her own. And those people, particularly the young students who think they're infallible, those are the ones that often went off without any type of health insurance. Now they can either qualify for Medi-Cal, or they can go with either their state or federal exchange. So she's going to Massachusetts and then off to New York City, but they, for example, Massachusetts has its own state exchange. If she lived in a state that said that the government for the state said we don't want to participate in Medi-Cal expansion, she would go to the healthcare.gov and hopefully, keep your fingers crossed, be able to get into that program through the federal government. So here's what we know about our membership. So you think about us as like SenCal Health is an insurance company. We're a health insurance company. A difference that we always point out is that we're not a commercial health plan. We're a government health plan. We're completely accountable to the local taxpayer and to a local board of directors. We don't have any stockholders. We don't have anybody that's asking for returns on the dollar. Matter of fact, our administrative rate is right around 7%. So 93 cents on every dollar goes directly for health care. And that's defined in our contract and defined by the Department of Health in Sacramento about what it means to provide direct health care. So we knew that a majority of these people were uninsured, but we really didn't know much about their health status. And again, that makes you nervous as a health insurer because we get a payment from the state, and if we're losing a lot of money, we're sort of in trouble. The state says, hey, we've paid you. Now it's your responsibility. We work with federally qualified health centers who are the traditional safety net clinic services, community health clinics up here, county health departments, community health clinics in Santa Barbara, and then down in Santa Barbara, the county health department have FQHCs, and there's some FQHCs in the South Coast Santa Barbara area. But they are the traditional safety net services, and their safety net, and they get some different federal funding because, again, people without any insurance historically came to them. So they really help us in helping to manage the health of their members and get people in for their preventive health screenings. I mentioned the county indigent programs that were provided coverage for serious medical conditions. So when people got sick enough, yeah, then they went on the county, local county dollar as well. These patients that are now coming into Medi-Cal, traditionally what we've thought of is that they've got chronic and infectious diseases, so they have a tendency to be sicker people, which means it's going to cost us more money, so we have to be very careful. And the way we try to be careful is we want to get them into their provider sooner and help reduce their long-term costs. The other thing I would say that has been very important is, we're trying to look at different models and different ways of doing homeless outreach and getting people that are in the informal medical networks and to get them into Medi-Cal. Medi-Cal have also changed some of our services. Behavioral health or mental health services are now part of the Medi-Cal benefit, as is autism. Autism up to the age of 21 used to be run through a regional center. It's now going to be run through managed Medi-Cal, and we're working with the regional centers to move those people in so we can then make a link with autism providers and health providers. I was historically working at the county government. I was really good at killing people with PowerPoint, so I'm only going to do a couple different slides here. And that's basically our population when you look at Medi-Cal. San Luis Obispo is about 48,000. Santa Barbara County is about 98,000. So when you know the general population, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of kudos goes to the CHC and the Department of Social Services up here in San Luis Obispo. They put a lot of effort, and that number of 48,000 was a much larger jump than Santa Barbara County's. Santa Barbara already had a pretty aggressive program, but here in San Luis, the clinics and the county really jumped up and really got people enrolled. We run a couple of little smaller programs that are just side businesses to us that we work with Santa Barbara County on. A little bit about our demographics throughout our system. You're looking at about 32,000 Hispanic. And again, these are a lot of the state terms. So rather than Latino, it's Hispanic and white as opposed to Caucasian, about 91,000. You see a lot of people that are other. We depend on the data coming in from our providers and also the enrollment at the state level that we get. So other blank is about 5,500. We obviously like to close those off a bit. And then you get into a different group of African Americans and Filipinos and Asian Pacific Islanders. I don't know why I've got this. They then get a packet from us. They can call us. They can ask if they can look on our website to see if we have the physicians. If they get a physician that they don't like because we assigned them somebody, they can call us. We'll change it. All of our phone operators, I think we've got one, but everyone else is fully bilingual and certified as bilingual. The staff at almost all the clinics are bilingual, and obviously when you get into some of the specialties, there's less staff that are bilingual in those. So we have translation services available to those offices if you're going to have to see a neurologist and they don't have anybody that's Spanish speaking. We've got the telephone referral services where they can put somebody on the telephone to get them up to speed. So the usual websites, Covered California, coveredca.com is just really the one that really gets you everywhere you need to go. The Department of Social Services here within this county and Santa Barbara County, if you go to their county website, they're easy to find just under the departments, and they've done a great job, as the clinics have, in helping to get people into Medi-Cal. So SenCal Health, local government entity, responsible to the people. We really take a lot of pride in working with both counties, Santa Barbara and San Luis, and getting people enrolled in Medi-Cal.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. That was a very thorough program, and we'll probably have some questions for you later. At this point, I'd like to introduce another old friend, Jose Guzman. Jose is also a former board member of the Latino Outreach Council, and when his schedule permits it, I'll certainly be soliciting him to join us once again. But he is a very strong, what we call padrino. He helps us through our marketing of our events, so he's still very actively involved with Latino Outreach Council. Jose is currently employed by Community Health Centers of the Central Coast, which began in 1978 in Nipomo, which is where I'm from. CHC is a nonprofit organization which provides quality health care to local residents through a network now of 27 community health centers located in northern Santa Barbara County in Santa Maria and throughout San Luis Obispo County. Jose has been with CHC for over 4 years and has contributed to various projects, including CHC's worksite health promotion and mental health outreach programs. Jose was a member of CHC's Affordable Care Act subcommittee, created to educate local residents on the Affordable Care Act. Jose has a background in communications and is a resident of Nipomo. Prior to joining CHC, Jose worked for various local Spanish language media companies, including KTAS 33, Telemundo, KPMR 38, Univision, Laser Broadcasting, and El Dorado Broadcasters. As a first-generation Mexican-American and the son of immigrant farm workers, Jose has always had a passion for serving the Latino community. Please give a warm welcome to Jose Guzman.
Thank you very much. Muchas gracias. It's an honor to be here tonight to be able to share some information about what Community Health Centers of the Central Coast has done during the last year in regards to educating the Latino community on the Central Coast on the Affordable Care Act. We started this journey over a year ago. I had the pleasure of working with Kenna at Community Health Centers. I've participated in various events with the SenCal Health staff and also county staff in Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. And I would say that it's an honor to work with all the agencies, the community-based organizations, and it truly takes all the community-based organizations, the health centers, and everybody who is coming together to inform, to educate the community about health care reform. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what we have done as one of the safety net providers here on the Central Coast. But before I do, I'd like to share two important facts. Fact number one, CHC ranked number 9 out of 1,800 certified enrollment entities for the number of applications submitted during the first enrollment period. And this exceeded our expectations. This exceeded our goal. But we did that with the help of various community-based organizations and also the staff of over 630 that are part of the Community Health Center team. Also, to date, CHC certified enrollment counselors have helped over 7,500 residents gain access to health care coverage. So how do we do this? As I mentioned before, we began a couple of months prior to open enrollment, and a couple of us from Community Health Centers of the Central Coast got together, and we started planning, we started mapping out, we started thinking of how this whole thing was going to go, and we started thinking, well, what if the president doesn't get reelected, and what's going to happen then? You know, do we hurry up and prepare, and then, you know, the Affordable Care Act goes away? But it didn't happen, and many people have benefited by the Affordable Care Act. So we began to make a plan on what we were going to do at our clinics, spread them out through different sites in Santa Barbara County and San Luis Obispo County, being able to work with the patients that needed assistance in the enrollment process, being able to assist them in understanding the information. Some of the big enrollment events that we participated at last year included Calvert, California town hall meeting with Senator Hannah Beth Jackson in Santa Maria, which was co-sponsored by Visión y Compromiso, which is a promotoras group, a group of community health workers. We also attended two large events at Allen Hancock Colleges to promote the Affordable Care Act amongst the students. You know, because now many of them were going to be able to have health insurance, especially if they weren't able to be under their parents' insurance or if their parents were uninsured as well. So before the Affordable Care Act, we did a lot of promotion. We did a lot of education. One of our pillars has been working with the local Spanish language media outlets, working with the Spanish language radio stations, working with the Spanish language television stations. We had a weekly segment on a show, it's called El Norte, where many local residents from Carpinteria all the way up to San Miguel receive information on changes that are going on with immigration laws that affect Latinos here on the Central Coast. So we had the opportunity to provide a weekly five-minute segment on the Affordable Care Act, and then also reassuring our patients, reassuring residents, reassuring our listeners or television viewers that there was legislation that would protect them, protect their information that would not be shared with the immigration. So what we did is we really worked hard to build trust within our community by using the media, building trust within our patients, and really delivering the information that we were getting, that we had, and then opening up the doors to our health centers and being able to provide that information in both English and in Spanish, and also in Mixteco. Some of the opportunities that we had working with the Mixteco-speaking community in Santa Maria, when they referred patients to us, because as many of you know, there's a lot of mixed-status family, where I may be the father. I was born in Mexico. I'm undocumented here in the United States, but I have two or three or four or five children that are U.S. citizens and that need they need to be insured. So that's also how we were working with a lot of these community-based organizations. Also had the opportunity to do presentations at public housing facilities in northern Santa Barbara County, work with some of the community-based organizations here in San Luis Obispo County, doing presentations at parent-teacher meetings. So we had a lot of help from a variety of government agencies and public or community-based organizations that would invite us to do presentations. We worked with some of the some other agencies in Santa Barbara County where we would go back and forth, where if they had a representative that only spoke English, we would go in and do the presentation in Spanish. So those are some of the success stories that that we have. Currently, CHC has two bilingual certified enrollment counselors who are available for enrollment assistance in Santa Maria and Napomo. We are looking to add for more bilingual certified enrollment counselors in the North County locations, but we generally always have staff members that work with the CECs who are also bilingual in assisting the Spanish-speaking patients. We currently have Mario, who is going to be working at our Napomo clinic. He is also bilingual. We have Monica at our Santa Maria Way site. Aaliyah, who is going to be based out of our Arroyo Grande Fair Oaks site. Cassandra in San Luis Obispo, and Deborah Martin up in Atascadero. Right now, when a patient calls and asks for information regarding the Affordable Care Act, how to sign up, they are referred to one of our certified enrollment counselors who provides them with valuable information to bring to an appointment, a pre-scheduled appointment. And they're giving the important details that they will be needing for their appointment. In fact, what type of documentation to bring, what they will be needing. Because we know that people's time is very important, and a lot of our patients may have trouble getting off work. They may have transportation issues. So what we try to do is we try to provide as much information to them as possible so that when they come to their appointment, they're able to receive all the information that they need. And when they leave, there's a great chance that their application was done right and that, you know, hopefully we'll increase that 7,500 number in the campaign that we will do this year. So we're getting going. We're getting geared up. We learned a lot from this past campaign, and we're looking for new partners. We're looking for new agencies. We're looking for partners in Santa Barbara County and San Luis Obispo County where we can come in. We can talk to your patients. We can talk to your clients. We can talk to local residents at a variety of events, at a variety of meetings, so we can share information with them regarding the Affordable Care Act, how to sign up for the Covered California, be able to assist them and sign up for Medi-Cal as well. Fred is here. Monica is here. We have a information table in the other room. I would invite you to pick up some of our information. If you would like us to come out to talk to your clients, to talk to the members of the community that you are working with, we would be glad.
Here in the county of San Luis Obispo. She has been working with the Department of Social Services for 18 years, 5 years as an eligibility worker and an employment resource specialist, 4 years in staff development and training new staff, current staff, updating policy and procedures, 2 years as a supervisor of eligibility staff, and CalWIN implementation, and the last 7 years as the Medi-Cal program manager. She has over 13 years of experience working as an emergency department nursing clerk and 4 years as a tax preparer. So she comes to us, and we're very, very blessed to have her with our County Department of Social Services. And thank you very much for coming today, Patty. And please give Patty Garcia a warm welcome.
Thank you very much. This last year has been incredibly busy, crazy. Like everyone else has said, the populations that came forward and enrolled were in numbers of hundreds and hundreds of people more than we ever expected, thousands of people more than we ever expected. And so it's nice to see it coming together. It's nice to see it getting better. So I took this opportunity to look back and also to kind of highlight a couple of the different programs which not too many people know about. So if who has the control of the mouse? Thank you. I'm assuming it's here. Nope. Okay. The wheel? Okay. So this doesn't come without struggles. I think we'll all agree that we saw so many more applications than any of us ever expected. Trying to get three huge computer systems to talk with each other, to work together, to be programmed and changes together has been quite quite difficult. We've had multiple. So when I talk about these three agencies, we have covered California and CalHERS, which is their computer system. We have the county SAWS system, and then we have MEDS, which stores all of our eligibility information, historical and current information. And so getting that technology to work between the three of them is all three systems are still struggling with it at this point. That besides them, it's, you know, working together, we now have what used to be people would come in and apply for Medi-Cal. We'd put them in one system. We had control. We did our budgeting. We knew what to expect. We put it in the system, and it away it goes. It issues out cards and benefits. Well, now, as nice as it is, we have other fingers in the pot. It's like, so you can come to us. You can go to CHC. They'll enroll you. You know, Covered California, you can go online with them, you can go to an insurance broker, or you can sit in bed and do it yourself. And so now we have this entire group of people entering information into a system that it needs to be very exact, you need to be careful, it needs to be correct and for it to all work. And so saying that, we have, over the last year, we are still processing applications from last year. And some of it's due to people getting frustrated, like, oh, I applied, I haven't heard anything. Oh, let's do it again. I've applied, I haven't heard anything. And people who've applied 8 different times. And so now we have multiples. We have, you know, the structure of this new system, while it's great, who would have known my tax preparation, years of tax preparation would come to play, you know, in working with Medi-Cal, or the fact that I worked in an emergency room for 13 years would come to play again with Medi-Cal. And so there's been a frustration. We've done a lot of we put in a call center last year to accept the calls from Covered California. We staffed it. It was slow in the beginning, and then they had more work than they ever knew what to do with. We've taken staff and, you know, if we've seen that, oh, we really need to devote our attention here, we've offered out overtime to staff to do this. And we're still, I think, at this point, sitting with a couple thousand, well, maybe not quite that much. I'd say maybe about 1,000 applications that are still needing to look into. Unknown if how many are duplicates or how many are already aided, or but they're kind of in the issue pile that we're working on. There's a huge push, especially since open enrollment is kind of nipping at our heels again this year. The Department of Healthcare pending application, and you're a diabetic, or you know you have AIDS, or working with a network, we will take that application, that phone call, and force up eligibility and kind of monitor that case. So we also continually are filling positions. Had we known a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that we were going to have this huge population, this influx, we would have staffed differently. And even the state, I mean, the state says, we'll give you X amount of money, you'll have it for 2 years. And it seemed like it would finance what we needed to finance. Not so much. We are continually filling positions. We're continually asking for more positions from the Board of Supervisors. We are currently in an enrollment right now that's bilingual preferred, which is always helpful. We, majority of the times in our offices, if you are Spanish-speaking, you will have a worker that speaks Spanish. All of our documentation, our forms, we don't put them up and available to staff until they're both in English and Spanish. I'm going the wrong way again. I was asked for some figures on, well, what are our figures? Well, let me tell you, our figures are difficult to gather. The figures I have up here now are figures that are actually eligible and in our system. We have at least 1,200 people who are eligible and not in our system, who were CalFresh eligible and put on because they're income eligible, that wanted Medi-Cal, that still aren't in our system, but they're getting benefits. We have people in our backlog that are potentially about 1,000, and there's still some sitting out in CalHERS that we still haven't seen. So I listed some figures here. You'll notice the restricted benefit individuals actually fell at open enrollment. And part of that is because in this transition and in these different systems, a lot of our individuals who were only eligible to restricted benefits actually got full benefits for the first 8 months of the year. And so some counties went back and said, oh, we need to correct this. We didn't. We said, you know what? It is what it is. If we've issued them out, we'll correct it when they make us correct it. And so those individuals are actually given full benefits. We have probably in this full scope benefit citizens and legal residents, we have somewhere between 15,000 and 17,000 individuals. These are all of our categories of people. So these are people who are historically Medi-Cal eligible. They're also our newly eligible. They're also the healthy families children that we assumed, you know, the year before. And the final bit of figures here are our full scope eligible, but they don't include our age, blind, and disabled group, the people who had always been eligible. So that kind of gives a clearer picture of our newly eligible, which is, if I could do math quickly, it's somewhere in the 15,000 to 17,000. And had we known that, again, a year and a half ago, we would have done things different, that's for sure. So we talk about how to apply. Again, you can apply online. You can apply online with Covered California. You can apply online with our online application. You can call Covered California, English, Spanish numbers. You can have a mail-in application, walk into any of our offices, or phone in, and we'll mail you out the application. You can walk into any one of our offices and apply. There's really no wrong door. You can utilize the certified enrollment counselors at CHC, at AIDS Network, AIDS Support Network, your insurance offices. I mean, there's numerous ways to apply. If individuals struggle with language, you know, come in and apply. If they struggle with the application at home, we should be able to take information over the phone these days. It doesn't need to be in writing necessarily. Insurance agents, local ones, the big ones that I know, and there's probably others, is Framberger and Susan Polk. You know, they'll help you. They have certified enrollers also. And I don't know how many times we have to say this, but the information is confidential. We do not, we are not a reporting agency. Immigration status is never reported to other agencies, and it's only used to simply give the right level of benefits for our programs. Okay. So I was also asked to talk about the enrollment process. So there's it's a little bit different depending on which door you come in. So enrollment process, kind of in a nutshell, is applications that start at Covered California. So if you were to apply via the 800 number, through a CEC, a certified enrollment counselor, through an insurance agent, or even at home, that information, your FPL limits for your household size and your income limits that are verified at the hub, and if it's all compatible, it's electronically sent to us, and we accept it. If it's not compatible, it still comes to us, the MAGI Medi-Cal piece, and then we'll ask for potentially paper verifications if it's unverifiable, if it's not verified at the hub. And then once we're done with it, we then post that eligibility to MEDS. So this is, MEDS kind of stores all the eligibility. This is where the providers, when you swipe your card or when they look for you online, this is where the eligibility lives. That's posted by us for Medi-Cal. I do believe it's also posted by Covered California for their products. I think I've hit all of the... So that, when it works well, works well. When you start from the other door, the process starting at the county, we'll, again, take applications on the phone. You can walk in. You can apply online. That information, we start in our system, and that we send out to CalHERS. It takes it, does the same process, puts it up against the federal hub, tries to verify all that information, and then makes the determination and sends it back to us. We take that information. If it's verified, we're good to go. We accept the information, and we move forward. We don't ask for anything else. If there's things that are unverified, we'll request the verifications. Our prior programs, the non-MAGI, the non-modified adjusted gross income, that we still determine by hand. We do it in our system, and we post that eligibility. Those programs are still county only, and they don't go through Covered California. They don't go to the federal hub. Once we've received it, accept it, and post it up to MEDS. I'm going to get this right yet. So that's, you know, kind of in a nutshell what we do. There are some programs out there that are not very well known. I thought I would share at this in this forum. Express Lane Enrollment is actually a push. I'm not going to get this right yet. It was a push to say, if you're CalFresh eligible, if you receive food stamps or CalFresh as it's now known, you're income eligible for Medi-Cal. So they offered it out to the CalFresh population and say, if you're interested in Medi-Cal, just come into our office and we'll force your eligibility up. We'll make you eligible. It'll generate out your cards. And there's no other application process. It allows this. It basically was designed to minimize the administrative burden of all of these applications. We already had these people's information. We knew their household. We knew their income. They're Medi-Cal eligible. You know, all we have to do is, you know, all I have to do is ask, and we'd go ahead and force on their eligibility. I'm going to get this. So these are all CalFresh recipients that didn't have Medi-Cal. They were notified by Department of Health Care Services to come in the office, give us a call, mail back the flyer that they got. There's numerous ways that they could apply for this. These are adults that are 19 to 64, not disabled or blind, children under the age of 19, again, not disabled or blind, and some of the Medicare recipients or beneficiaries were also eligible. This was great. It pushed on thousands of individuals without them coming in and applying. It gives them 12 months of eligibility. Where am I going with this? It gives them 12 months of eligibility before they have to recertify. So it gives us 12 months to get them in our system is what it actually does. I'm going to get this right. So other potential access to coverage. This is an Every Woman Count program. fairly new. The Department of Health Care Services provides free breast and cervical cancer screening exams, such as mammograms, breast exams, Pap tests, and HPV screening. This is in order for to be eligible for this, again, limited health insurance, unable to pay your premiums, live in California, not eligible to Medi-Cal, have income under 200% of the FPL, be at least 40 years old for the breast exam and mammograms, but be at least 21 years old for the pap smear. There is no citizenship requirement for this, okay? You can apply. There's information on our tables over there on how to apply. There's a direct number. There's a provider listing. You can go in and put in your zip code, and it'll tell you the 10 providers in that area, or up to 10 providers in that area. A great program with minimal application. The last one here is one that's, I think, kind of the best kept secret in Pregnant Not Medicare. And again, this is a program that does not ask for citizenship. So you have family members, know people, ill, afraid to go to the doctor, can't afford it, don't have coverage. This is a great program. It's also doesn't need the services that they need, don't need to be at the hospital. It's just that the hospital staff does the eligibility. They basically take the information, they grant eligibility for that current month. So if you walked in today, you'd get it for November and December. So it's that current month and the future month. At the same time, they'll hand you a paper application telling you to complete it and send it in, apply online. And if they do that, as long as they have that pending application that isn't processed yet, that eligibility will continue. So if I use today as an example, I went in to the hospital today, applied for this program, was eligible, my eligibility starts and is posted that day. It would continue through December. If I turned in my application to the county or applied another way and that there's a pending application out there, if it took us 2 months to approve that application or process that application, that presumptive eligibility would carry forward for those 2 months while we're pending. So this is a, and the services could be something totally not in the hospital. It could be physical therapy. It could be, I'm a newly diagnosed diabetic. I need meds. It could be oncology. The services don't have to be provided at the hospital, but they have to be determined at the hospital. And again, there's no citizenship requirement. They can do this once a year, not in a calendar year, but so if I did it today and I guess given services and maybe I didn't follow up on my application, or maybe my application, I didn't follow up, the next time I'd be eligible would be next November. The exception to that is pregnancy. If I was, God forbid, have two pregnancies in a 12-month period, then each pregnancy would be covered for the pregnancy services only. Again, that's to me the best kept secret in the county. It allows individuals, regardless of their citizenship, to come in and have services and continue services if they actually apply. Okay. We have information on all the programs I've mentioned at the tables, and thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Patty. I know because I know people who work for DSS and just at what dedication they have and the work that you've done, and it's been incredible, I know. I have a few questions, and some people in the audience may have a few questions. Let me ask you, Patty, with regard to this last program, is that funded by the county?
No.
So it's a state-funded program?
It's through the Department of Health Care Services.
Okay. And because that's been one of the concerns that has been discussed statewide is the fact that the Affordable Care Act does require citizenship eligibility. And so there's a gap because obviously we have citizens that are people that live here who are not citizens. So this is an avenue where they could get some medical care if they need it.
Yes.
Very good. And I have a question for Mr. Harris, Michael. Do you have any concerns about the ability for the state to continue to be able to afford to provide this expanded coverage? My understanding is that the federal government is providing a subsidy at this point in time, but that it was limited to only 3 years. What information do you have with regard to
That's a great question. I think in Sacramento there is a little bit of sticker shock. The budget of the Department of Healthcare Services now is about $92 billion. That's with a B, $92 billion a year. A lot of that, again, is federal funding. The federal government on this expansion is funding it for 3 years but ratcheting down, and eventually is at 90% that the feds will continue. So I think there's always concern. So we, as well as some of the other health plans, are working with the state to make applications back to the federal government on what's called waivers to find out new and innovative ways of paying providers, of benefiting providers and plans and the state if we save money. I think all of us are aware that healthcare costs continue to rise, although they're rising much, much slower than they have historically. But I think there's always a concern. I know this governor's voiced a lot of concern about the existing costs.
It's about reducing their premium costs.
Well, it's interesting. I think, you know, so we're part of a couple of the trade associations, and I'm not here to defend the commercial carriers by any stretch of the imagination, but I do have to say that, you know, as we grapple with many of the same problems that commercial carriers provide, and that is medications. I was mentioning, you know, we've got new medications on the market which are just phenomenally successful medications as far as cure rates for hepatitis C. But when you start having to pay $135,000 for each individual that's infected, that's a tough bottom line. A lot of the costs have gone up in direct medical care, and premiums go up, and you know we feel it just as much as anybody else in our own insurance premiums. But I do think there's going to be continued challenges for a lot of the medications. Hemophilia drugs are very expensive. There's been a lot of discussions, even this morning, about 600% increase in generic drugs. Some medications that were made by 12 manufacturers are now being made by 3, and the cost of those medications are up 667%. So I think I can only speak for our own plan that we clearly try to reduce our administrative costs, but it's a tough road when you've got one patient that's going to cost you $2.5 million because you have to send them to Stanford Medical Center for treatment. It's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, understood. Does anybody have any questions? We do have questions. Yes. So the question is, where can someone go to speak to counselors in order to get assistance for application for Covered California?
So in regards to community health centers, we have 5 sites where we have these counselors located. We have the brochures and the information packet that we have on our table. And you can also call our main line, which is 929-3211, which is also on our brochure, and you will receive information there. If for whatever reason there is not a certified enrollment counselor close to a site where you reside, then we will make arrangements to be able to get somebody to that site to be able to assist the individual.
You know, I'll also add to that, if you go to the coveredcalifornia.gov site, you can go and find help near you, and then that will list all of the enrollment entities as well as all of the insurance, the certified insurance agents that are available in the area that can help enroll.
Hi, this is for Kenna. Can you repeat the mirrored plans? I was confused on what the purpose of the mirrored plans was.
I didn't see you talking to me. Hello. Okay. Yes. And I know that it's a confusing, and I deliberate on whether to bring it in or not. The federal government, when they set up the Affordable Care Act, they allowed for there to be competition in the marketplace. And so what they said is that there would be folks who would buy an exchange plan or an Obamacare plan or a health reform plan. But there was going to be an option for people who didn't want to necessarily buy through that, because for all intents and purposes, the individual market has gone away in the insurance side. It is health plans that are in the exchange. They are required by federal law to be offered off the exchange. So if I have a Blue Shield PPO plan that the exchange sells, I have to sell that same product, I have to allow insurance brokers, and I have to allow people to be able to go in on the health insurance side and be able to purchase that plan, which has the same benefits, it has the same networks, it has all the same facilities and everything in it, but it isn't through a resource of the exchanges or through the certified counselors. So you can buy a plan. It's called a mirrored plan, and you will find some of these health plans have had different names. And it's been confusing, and that's one of the reasons why I brought it up, is that somebody buys a health insurance plan from their broker. I didn't buy a Cover California plan. But they go in, and they have their individual market, their card, their insurance card. They'll go into the physician's office, and the physician will not take that health plan any longer because it's the same network that's an exchange network.
So Kenna, let me follow up. So if someone thinks that they're not going to be eligible for a subsidy, so they're thinking, well, I'm just going to go and buy my own policy, whatever it is, mm-hmm. That policy, though, is the same policy they would buy if they went on the Covered California website.
Correct. So what I'm demonstrating here is that you have basically the mirror plan of where you've purchased it. So I've purchased through a health insurance broker. I purchased on their website, the health insurance plan site, or I can purchase a plan
in San Luis Obispo County.
Okay, I have a question then. Mm-hmm. I had an adult son who has no insurance at all, ended up at the emergency room, and this programmer, nothing like this was explained to him, that you could use this program.
How long ago?
2 months. Mm-hmm.
So it was probably about a month ago that they said they've been up for almost a month. So he might have just missed the cutoff. I know. It's.
Is it retroactive?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's facing medical bills he can't pay.
Yeah. It is not retroactive. It is eligible the month you apply and the future month.
Oh, for Gateway.
Is he Medi-Cal eligible by chance?
Well, he is now. He's unemployed.
Well, Medi-Cal eligibility does go retro back 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We
have a question in the back.
California has a very large economy, and I'm not proposing we succeed, but in its infinite wisdom, the Congress starts picking at aspects of the Affordable Care Act. Are people in Sacramento and around the state going to start looking at what is proposed to happen to start planning to deal with it in terms of our policies here in California so that we don't dismantle no matter what Congress does or doesn't do? Are we planning ahead is basically what I'm...
Well, I think as far as Medi-Cal, so that's a great question. So there's a couple things that's really already interesting in California. The state has added to the federal Medicaid program. So the federal program is called Medicaid. A state that adopts Medicaid can then just hand it out. Okay, here's our Medicaid program. Or it can add additional services into it. So California already adds some services that the federal government does not, and so therefore we end up with Medi-Cal. I think what we're watching right now, somebody who has to watch Sacramento and Washington, is we're watching to see what Congress tries to move on, but also Congress has to get it by the president. And I think actually Mr. McConnell may have said, you know, we've got one Democrat we have to deal with, and that's the president. And we're going to wait and see, but it's always a concern, and there's going to be financial ramifications if. And I think right now I'd tell you it's a big if, as they have to get it by the president to make major changes in the Affordable Care Act. I think the president has made it very clear that he's very open to fine-tuning and improving it, but he's made, you know, the comparison is, you know, don't tell me I've got a problem with my plumbing in my house and tell me that I have to tear down the whole house. That's not going to happen under this president. The bigger challenge will be in 2016 with a different president, and what that president, I guess regardless of either party, but certainly on the more conservative side, what major changes they and potentially a Republican Congress want to do. And that that would be a big national discussion. And then it comes to Sacramento. Sacramento has to make a decision whether they want to pay for those, maintain those services, or whether they want to cut back on some services. Good question.
Thank you. We have another question.
For Patty, regarding the hospital program, mm-hmm. I'm curious. I want to know how do people apply, or if a person who has restrictive emergency medical only can apply. Is we just walk into the hospital?
Well, if you're already on Medi-Cal with restricted benefits, you cannot currently have Medi-Cal.
So no, even emergency Medi-Cal.
I would say no. The regulations say that you can't currently have Medi-Cal. So if you're uninsured, you could walk in and request it.
You know, because the emergency Medi-Cal is basically
it's life and death and pregnancy, mm-hmm. basically.
Okay. Yes. So if somebody gets sick and doesn't have the emergency Medi-Cal or anything, they just can walk into the hospital and
yes.
apply?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any efforts being made, Patty, that you're aware of to disseminate this well-kept secret to the public? I mean, Latino Outreach Council is doing it tonight, and this is a televised program. So any other efforts?
You know, we
being
have
made?
In-house shared it with staff in our regional trainings that this is available. You know, so because, I mean, they're the ones at the front that people will come to and say, well, I have this, this, and this. What am I eligible for? Or this happened, you know, my husband's in the hospital. I need to apply. And if they determine, like, oh, well, you're going to either have a share of costs, but, you know, you can do this at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then once I get this up and running and pending, we can...
Medi-Cal, and this was really, I think, when it worked its way through the legislature, was working with the Hospital Association, because they said, we still have these people who are... qualify for everything, but for whatever reason, some of it, let's just say, maybe for mental health reasons, and so these are people who are actually being admitted into the hospital, so we're behind the game now. So the real issue that to stress with people is to get enrolled early, get your preventive health care, get to the point of wellness as opposed to dealing with the point of illness is the main focus of that.
I've been aware that there are many people that don't realize that this is a law. There is a legal requirement to apply and to have health insurance coverage. And that's one of the reasons to have a program like this, is so that people do become aware of that fact, that they do need to apply, either purchase a mirrored policy or apply through Covered California.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we have a couple more questions. Yes.
First of all, thank you for all of the information. I have questions about grandfathered plans. First of all, how long will these plans exist? The second question is, if you come off a grandfathered plan, can you come back at any time? And the last question would be, is there a way of determining the cost or the benefits associated with grandfathered plans without registering on Covered California?
So the grandfather plans, I think you're going to have to test my dates on this one, but I think that they actually expire at the end of this year. So the law behind the grandfather plans was that if you had a health insurance plan at the time that they signed into law in 2010, a health insurance plan that you loved and you're going to stick with, that was fine. That was what kind of Obama had said in regards to you can keep your health insurance plan. Those were the grandfather plans. The grandfather plans do not necessarily meet the standard benefit design design. So what Covered California, or I'm sorry, the Affordable Care Act did is it not only said these are the new ground rules. You have to admit everybody in here, but you also have to have 10 essential health benefits in all of your health insurance plans. So it really leveled the playing field. So if you had breast cancer or you had a health plan, you were healthy, you have breast cancer, you got to your sixth treatment of breast cancer, and then you had maxed out on what they were going to allow. That doesn't happen anymore. But under these grandfather plans, these clauses, you were allowed to keep whatever benefit package you had then until the expiration date, which I do believe is this year, December 31st. But I might have that wrong. Once that happens, you have to transfer into a QHP, which is a qualified health plan, which is what's offered in all the networks, be it in the individual market.
I would just say that on Covered California, I admit I haven't looked at it, you know, for this year, but I know that last year you could log in and look and do comparisons. Oh, yeah. You didn't necessarily have to sort of spill the beans that, you know, I have this grandfathered plan, and you could look at it and see what the elements were. When somebody asked me before about the grandfathered plan, I said, you know, by definition, it's what I think of as an inferior health plan. A qualified health plan meets the standards that have now been set by the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, you really do run a risk of, unless you are thoroughly knowledgeable about your plan, of things coming up in your plan that nowadays aren't allowed under the qualified health plans. And if you move to any of the plans now, you're moving into a QHP, a qualified health plan. So, and I understand why people got upset because their premiums changed and there were lots of changes that were occurring, but the reality is a lot of people are maybe staying with the plans that they had, but there's some concern that people should really know what's in that plan then.
So as a certified enrollment counselor, I can definitely point you in the right direction. You don't actually have to log in to check to see what you might be eligible for. On Covered California, they have a shop and compare tool. So just by going to the main homepage, right on the main homepage is a shop and compare tool. It asks you how many members are in your family, how much you might be projected to make in that benefit year, and it will actually give you a roundabout figure of what you might be eligible for as in terms of a subsidy or even potentially being eligible for Medi-Cal. The other question, and not much, so much a question, but it was something that I thought was not really covered. You mentioned that the individual mandate under the Affordable Care Act requires all U.S. citizens to have health insurance, but what happens if you don't have health insurance? Is there a penalty, and how many months can you go without having health insurance before the penalty is assessed, and who will be assessing the penalty? So I thought that's a really big component for the community, as well as our community members to know, is that the law states that if you don't have health insurance for 3 consecutive months within that benefit year, that you could be subjected to the penalty. Which will be assessed by the IRS.
So it's not $95, and so be aware.
I think another really interesting thing is, and I look for Kenna to steer us the right direction here, is so you'll get under Covered California, you'll get your premium, and then you get this subsidy. Well, the reality is it's almost like a tax credit. So one of the things that's really important for people to know is you go and you enroll in Covered California and you get your premium lowered, and then during the course of the year, you know, your employer finds out what an Einstein you are, you get a big promotion, now you're making more money. You need to deal with that because they've given you a subsidy based on this level. Okay. And when you go to file your taxes, they're going to say, holy cow, you're making a lot more money, and we should not have been giving you a subsidy that whole time. That's something that people really have to understand.
So 2 points to that, if it's okay, Jackie.
that answer just scared me.
No, don't be scared. So if you go back, I did kind of brush off the special enrollment slide because I know that we're here to talk about the second enrollment. But on that slide, there was a pretty significant list of items that could change in your life that would change your subsidy. So if you got married, you changed your income, if you had a baby, if you got a divorce, if there was a death in the family, things along those lines would change your status and your income status with Covered California or with your subsidy that you've received. And then what happens is that when you go into your next year and you file your income taxes, what the feds are going to do, the IRS is going to look at what was subsidized and did that subsidy meet what was deemed affordable. And then there will be they'll take money out from your incomes or they'll put money back in if you paid too much. So you do really need to be aware of that. That's actually a very excellent point.
But when you say take money in or put money out, I mean, is that off going of to either, your next
yes.
subsidy?
No, they're going to credit you. You would get a tax, you know, right, because you paid too much of a premium.
Okay.
Or you'll have it'll be an expense on your taxes, and then you'll owe the IRS those funds.
Wow.
I'm still scared. Report the changes is the advice. Report the changes.
So, and that also brings up a really good point, because what's happened is that the FPL levels are determined in April. That's when the FPL comes out. Covered California deemed your eligibility based on the 2013 FPL guidelines that were set up by the federal government. So you had a change. You had an address change. You decided you were going to change your doctor. You did something which you interacted with Covered California, the website. They pinged it, and they did another income test, and the income test came back that now this person's eligible for Medi-Cal. So what has happened in the last couple of months is that folks have actually received a Medi-Cal card in the mail, and they're no longer eligible for their health insurance plan because their income has changed, and so now they've been deemed eligible for something different. So that is something else to be aware of.
So if someone is self-employed, their income can fluctuate. They may not be able to anticipate from year to year what their income will be in the future. So that could be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Let me just address that. Yeah. There is they do give, I believe, if I heard from mom, a 20%, they give you this 20%. So if you are self-employed and you kind of underestimated or you way overestimated, they do have this 20% kind of give for individuals, because someone doesn't know at that time what exactly your income is going to be, especially for self-employment.
I know with Covered California, I believe it's
10%. Okay, Covered California is 10% is what we're hearing.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're going to have to say that.
All of them. Okay. It's 10% wiggle room, whether you make 10% less or 10% more of what you projected. So for self-employed individuals, we always encourage them to make sure that whatever they project, that they know that they watch their income throughout the year, and the moment they know they've gone over that 10% of their projected income for that year, that they report the change immediately so that they don't have to pay back any of the tax credit they were receiving throughout the year. And as CECs, we make that a very big issue, especially with self-employed individuals, to discuss that with them. And that's the number one question people are always asking us is, well, am I supposed to report my income change every single month? Because it probably is, it's never going to be the same. And what we say is, well, no, you're going to have to come up with a projected figure and watch your income throughout the year. And if you hit that mark or go over that 10% or under that 10%, it's that individual's responsibility to report that change. And it's as easy as logging into your account on Covered California and clicking report a change and then going into the income section and changing your income and getting a new
something like preventive health screens. So many grandfathered plans, that wasn't covered. You had to pay for that. If you grandfathered your plan, that may be the case, but then some of the federal requirements maybe say, fine, you can keep your grandfathered plan, but starting this time, the grandfather plan has to start allowing to get free preventive health screens. So check in to see what's going on with a grandfather plan, because there's things that we've talked about tonight that are not applicable to grandfathered plans, and some changes may occur.
Well, I want to thank you very much. This is the third Affordable Care Act forum that Latino Outreach Council has hosted. Every single time I have learned so much, and certainly from four of you tonight, what a wealth of information. And I want to thank you very much for the personal time that you've taken to come to speak with us tonight. We do have booths out at our reception area with some refreshments, and some of our speakers do have their materials out there, and there's some other materials, so I want to encourage you all to please go to the reception area, help yourself to some refreshments, and also please avail yourself of the information at the information booths. Please give a very loud and enthusiastic round of applause to our guest speakers. Have a good evening, everyone.